Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like falling through the ice, or being bit by a rabid dog, or being held hostage.
Oof. And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like forgetting your kid at school, or showing up to work drunk, or being stuck on a really terrible commercial shoot.
Been there.
Done that.
How about we lighten things up with a little theme song music?
Do 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 do.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I am Danielle.
I'm Christine.
How's it going, Christine?
It's going well. And for you?
And for me? Are we learning English as a second language? Are we doing English on Duolingo?
No. But
how is it for you?
I might need to.
How is it for me? That's the cute little boy voice. Well, I went to an eye doctor's appointment.
Routine.
I go every year because since the pandemic started, my eyesight has gotten terrible.
That's happened to everyone, right? Have we all?
I don't know. Maybe we just all, everyone of a certain age or something.
Garen, has your eyesight gotten worse?
It seems it has. I have new glasses coming as we speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it because we've all just sunken into our devices even more? Or
I have no idea.
Are we aging at a rate of like 10 times the speed of light? Like every year is 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know what.
In pandemic times.
I don't know. I know that's when it happened. So.
Okay.
So Oliver and I get our eyes checked every year because he has crappy eyes too.
Jimmy every 3 months.
his farsightedness, I mean, I don't know. He wears reading glasses. His farsightedness, he takes care of his nearsightedness. He claims, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not about him for once. It's about me and my health. So as I was, you get all those things. They you look at this. You look at the hot air balloon. They don't do the puff anymore.
Oh.
We discussed that ahead of time. For some reason, they don't do the puff anymore.
I'm so glad. I hate the puff.
Yeah, but they do all these other tests, and they take pictures of your eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said you have a tear in your retina.
What?
So I'm getting emergency surgery today to hopefully fix it because it could just come off. It could just detach.
You don't want your retina to just come off. Tell us about the retina, Danielle. Like,
I don't know anything about it.
Either.
All I know is that, once again, because of age, my eyes are... I mean, I don't feel anything. Like, it doesn't...
You
I
had
don't
no
have,
symptoms.
I don't have blurry vision. I don't have any symptoms. He just looked at it, and that's it. So I have to go in and get it repaired today with a laser.
Ooh. So there won't be any physical stitches in your eye.
No, they will not be sewing my eye up.
My daughter, had eye surgery and she had actual stitches.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, when she was like two
and a
half.
I remember she had surgery, but yeah. What do you mean? How do they have stitches in your eyeball?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
You could see them?
No.
Oh. Well, they said laser, so I'm assuming, I had laser eye surgery a million years ago, so I'm assuming...
For vision.
So I'm assuming it's just that. As I recall, you can smell your flesh burning, so that's fun.
What?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So you're awake?
Yeah.
But they just numb the area. General,
yeah, and then I think
local anesthetic, is that what they call that?
Yeah. It's not Twilight.
Not the Twilight.
We're not
sleep.
Getting into that again.
Should we?
I think the clockwork orange eyes, you know, they like put them up and yeah. And you can smell the flesh. That's all I really remember.
Oh, they should do something. They should put like a something on your nose.
They should put a clothespin on your nose.
I couldn't think of what that was called. I was like, the thing to hang clothes.
Right.
What is that?
Right. Just the pin. You know what? The pin to hang clothes. What is that?
Just dig a hole and toss me in it.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in my corner of the world.
Are you going to have soreness afterward? Discomfort?
This is what's so weird. Because I didn't actually talk to the ophthalmologist, I have zero idea what this entails. Because I went to the optometrist just to get my eyes checked. And he's like, okay, you're going to need to take care of this. And I was imagining, okay, so I'll schedule an appointment tomorrow. I'll see if I can get in the next day. Da, da, da.
September 27th.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And he was like, well, we're going to call the office right now and see if we can get you in. Oh. And I was like, oh, this is serious.
Yeah.
So I've not ever met the ophthalmologist. I have no idea. I mean, I just didn't wear eye makeup today, assuming you shouldn't wear makeup. But other than that, I have literally no idea what the recovery time is. I know I have to be driven home. I can't drive myself because I'll be dilated. My eyes, not my ears.
Yeah. She's crowning.
There's a baby coming out of my eye from the hole.
It's adorable.
It's so cute. It's an eye, so baby. It's got really big eyes. Okay, should we get into today's show?
I'm so excited.
I'm very excited.
I mean, that was not even a segue or an indicator. So
my segue brain is located right behind my retina, and so there's a hole. Yeah, it fell out.
You don't have
so
your
I can't
segue.
Do a segue today.
That's
sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Today we're going to talk about how to survive if you're taken hostage.
Oh my god!
And I have a lot of good tips for any audience member if they ever get taken hostage. I went to emergency.yale.edu.
Okay.
Forerunner and hostage information.
Whoa.
I also used WikiHow.
Okay.
Let's talk about what to do if you're taken hostage.
Love it.
First off, what do you think I'm going to say is the first thing you should do?
Remain calm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Be polite and cooperate with your captors. Follow your captor's instructions once you're in captivity. Okay.
So this is a situation where you've been kidnapped or it's a hostage situation like in a bank?
It could be either.
Okay.
So you're already in captivity. Okay. I'm not going to run through the whole how you can escape. This is already because that's a different episode.
Okay. Okay.
Like how to escape an attempted kidnapping. I think that's a whole other ball of yarn.
And I think we actually have someone with a similar story.
So we'll cover that in a different episode. You're already abducted. Okay. Take a measured approach to escaping, not an impulsive one. Start evaluating your surroundings rather than fighting to get away.
Okay.
If you're put into a vehicle while you're conscious, try to pay attention to as much about the trip as you can. How long the car travels without stopping, the direction of any turns, any sounds you notice on the road.
Right.
Right?
The gravel.
Yes, the gravel.
Yes.
So I was thinking about this last night when I was doing this research, and I was like, I'm already dead. I mean, I can't even, like, remember when you know, before smartphones, and you'd have to ask somebody how to get
for
somewhere
directions?
And they'd be like, all right, so you're going to go down to this roundabout.
Right.
You're going to take the third left, two sharp rights, and then another left at the stop sign. And then you're going to see a church. Like, I'm already,
your mind is blank.
It. I'm done. I can't, that kind of stuff. I cannot remember.
I would insist on writing it down. But even now, if I go somewhere and I'm just walking, like, where's the restroom, and they tell me that, my mind goes blank as soon as they say the first turn.
Yes, it's
just like I'll find it, because I cannot,
it doesn't stay,
capture the,
it's like
memory.
The sponge brain is now a stone.
That's right.
It's just hardened.
It's calcified.
Yes, there's no more sponge left to absorb.
Right.
If you're in the trunk of a car, look for a glow in the dark handle that you can pull to release yourself from the trunk. Which I hope
is that common?
I don't know, but I'm not going to start locking myself in trunks to find out.
No, that's a good point.
I hope all the new cars are like this.
Yes.
If this release cord isn't present, try to kick out the taillights and wave your hands to alert other motorists that you're trapped inside.
Right.
Can you imagine anything more terrifying than
little hands coming out of a trunk?
Or you're the hand. I mean, you're driving down the road and in front of you, you just see hands pop out where taillights used to be.
And they're waving at you.
Yeah, and they're just like, I mean, how do you wave to make it like a terror wave?
Well, I think any hands coming out of taillights is going to be, you know, an alarm. I don't think anyone's going to think that's just a fun kid playing.
No.
And, you know.
Good point.
Yeah.
Or that's like really bad parenting.
Yeah, it's not
if
great.
You're like, hey, kids, see if you can escape this trunk. That's the game we're going to play.
Right.
Stay focused on survival. It might be really hard, but once you're taken captive, this is one of my favorites. Once you're taken captive, try to dig deep within yourself to find your composure. Try.
Okay. Don't shit yourself.
Try to hold on to your dignity.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you do, do not lose your dignity.
That's the most important thing.
I think that's really funny. That's like,
don't lose your dignity.
Don't embarrass yourself.
What a weird... Who was this written by?
I mean, this is from the...
The mom from the 50s?
It's really... It's like...
Wear clean
like,
underwear if you're
like
in an accident.
It's like the book of etiquette. You know, like those...
When being kidnapped, be polite to your captors.
What was that post? What was the book about etiquette? It was
Emily
like,
Post?
Emily Post. Yeah, this is Emily Post's guide...
To being kidnapped.
To being held hostage. Rather than crying hysterically or begging... For you to let them, begging them to let you go. Maintaining your dignity will make you seem more human in your kidnapper's eyes, which may make them less likely to kill you.
Okay.
So I guess like a dignified person.
I thought that you're supposed to mention personal things.
That's coming.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Speak normally.
Don't affect... A fake Cockney accent for no reason.
I was going to say, Danielle, everyone loves your Australian accent.
But keep it zipped up.
Yeah, don't try to entertain the hostages, the terrorists with your array of accents.
I was thinking about that yesterday because I was listening to a podcast where someone was Australian. And I was like, oh, is that why people make fun of my Australian accent? Because it's just so over the top. But don't people really talk like that? But then this woman didn't talk like that, so maybe...
But I think...
Like, I think I'm doing an accurate... I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm doing an accurate accent.
You are.
But everyone laughs, so I'm... It must be just ridiculous.
I don't think it is. I think it's just... There's a...
So it's broad.
It's broad. Well, it's broad, but it's also... I do think that the accent is regional, so that there's the more sort of dignified...
Oh, okay,
Australian
so maybe
accent.
I'm doing like the white trashy.
You're doing the
accent.
You're
the
doing,
southern part of Australia.
Yes, you're doing the guy who's out, you know, in the backwoods. You're doing the Crocodile Dundee.
Yes, but he was really Australian, so he wasn't.
Yeah,
making it up.
No, you're doing it.
All right.
But you're doing the bigger one.
Which so few talents in this world. I didn't want to be mocked for my Australian.
But you want people to laugh, I think.
I don't know what I want. I just like doing it.
Okay, well, we enjoy it. We're laughing with you.
So, but not in this situation. Not if you're being held hostage.
No.
Zip it up, lady.
Yes. Do not complain. Avoid being belligerent. And comply with all orders and instructions. So, don't be a Karen.
Don't ask for the manager of the hostage takers.
Yes.
Let's see your supervisor.
Right. Can I see the person in charge?
This gruel is cold.
Yeah, right.
When you're talking to the person who's abducted you or taken you hostage, speak softly and clearly. If you antagonize your captors, they may be more likely to attack or even kill you. I mean, that feels pretty common sense. I don't know. Do people need to be told that?
I don't know.
That?
When I watch movies and the people like talk back to their...
Yes.
I'm always like, what the fuck are you doing?
I know.
I really don't understand it, but maybe some people do that. Well, tough guys.
Yes. That's a Harrison Ford, Liam Neeson move where they're just like, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Right. Yeah.
Did I sound good?
You said it exactly like Harrison Ford and Liam Neeson
together.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Liam Ford
right here. And they're like hung upside down. And that's right. Like three times after they've been waterboarded.
Right.
Try to connect with your kidnappers, Danielle. It can help to talk to your kidnappers about universal subjects like families, your hobbies, or sports.
Do you like pickleball by
any
chance? Yes.
It's very hot right now. Hey, are you watching The Bear? Carmi's a dirty little snack.
What?
Are you watching The Bear?
I haven't started it yet. I would like to very much.
I watched the first episode and I was like, when did that guy get so hot?
Why? What do you know him from?
Well, I think he was from Shameless.
I've never seen Shameless.
I only saw it walking through the room because Fenn watched all 8 seasons somehow in our house without me seeing any of it. But
my dad has a Shameless baseball cap that he wears everywhere all the time, and we have no idea why. We don't know where he got it, why he has it.
He went to a Shameless promotional event.
I think he did. A pop-up store.
Yeah. They had free apps.
And drugs. Aren't they like a drug?
It's a show about, like, there's a lot of drugs in it, I think.
That's
and it
I
takes
thought.
Place in, like, Chicago. It's like a sort of white trashy Chicago family.
Okay.
And I'm allowed to say white trash because it's my people. Try to establish a relationship with your captors and get to know them, but don't pretend to support them. They're likely to see this as a ruse, which could anger them.
Okay, you got to walk a fine line here.
Mm-hmm. Captors are less likely to harm you if they respect you.
Okay.
So, you know, that gets into line with that dignity stuff. Don't embarrass yourself.
Don't.
Stay cool. Be the cool girl.
Okay.
Be the girl who can eat the cheeseburger.
Okay.
On top of the car.
Right.
In a bikini.
Sure.
But still,
if that's what they require,
perfect.
Then that's what we'll do.
If there's anything you want or need, like medication or a book, calmly ask for it. It might help establish some rapport.
A book?
But
why would you need a book? I guess the hours are going. Yeah.
Do you have, like, hostage escape strategies for dummies? Not
anything
no
related
to yeah, what's right. happening right now. Just, I've been wanting to read it for a really long time. During conversations with your captors, avoid the subjects of politics or religion, especially if you're being held by terrorists.
Thinking they might bring it up.
Yes.
More than you, but okay.
Especially if you're American. Why or how would you know if they're a terrorist? Are they like, we're terrorists? What separates?
That's a very good point. Maybe what they're wearing might indicate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you don't have a lot of money, so you're not being captured for ransom, but for some other, you know, if I'm not rich and I'm
yes.
being kidnapped, well, maybe this is not for a ransom situation. Not a monetary ransom.
Right.
Maybe this is a political hostage.
So, okay, that's a good point.
Maybe they tell you.
Wherever you are.
Makes a difference.
Yes.
Like if you're like.
Like a terrorist isn't really necessarily going to take over a bank necessarily, I guess.
Right.
But, a plane or a
yeah
hotel even, I guess.
Yeah. These if Jack Bauer is around, they're probably yeah. terrorists.
Good points. Okay. I like everything you guys are saying. If you have pictures of your family, you know, in your wallet, how we all keep that plastic sleeve.
Uh-huh.
You can even show them to your captors to help them see you as more of a person rather than just a victim.
Because they're going to take your phone away. So
oh, yeah.
you wouldn't be able to show them
you're
on
not
the
gonna,
phone.
So I think everyone should have that plastic sleeve.
Yeah.
But hopefully your kids are cute.
Yeah. If they're not, you're kind of screwed,
If
right?
they're not, maybe keep the original pictures that come with the sleeves.
Yes. Oh, that's a good idea.
Because those kids are always cute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a really good idea. More photogenic.
Mm-hmm. Cut that out. Observe as much of your environment as you can. While you're in captivity, pay attention to every detail. How many people are holding you, their physical
right.
descriptions, and any exits in the place. You might spot something that helps you escape. You might be able to provide the authorities with key information.
Right.
Even if you're blindfolded or if it's
Ooh.
Dark, you could pick up on sounds or smells. They can give you clues. For instance, if you hear a lot of traffic, you'll know that you might be able to help find them. If you can just escape the building. So, like, I was thinking about this could be a problem if you're held captive in LA, though, because it's like
traffic everywhere.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
So, what did you hear? Well, I heard traffic, helicopters.
You're in Van Nuys.
It smells like fire and garbage.
So, literally anywhere.
Yeah, I can't, like, they're like, well, we can't really narrow that down.
Yeah. Anywhere I've lived in Los Angeles has had helicopters over it.
Constant.
It doesn't matter which part of LA you're in.
No, that's all the time everywhere. Not for me anymore.
All right. You're not in LA.
No, now I'm just surrounded by conservative weirdos.
And suicidal hawks or whatever.
Yes, that want to eat my head. Do not admit to accusations if you're interrogated. In some cases, you might be taken hostage or abducted because your captors believe that you have information they could use for political or personal gain.
Mm.
No matter what they do, Do not divulge any information that can be used against you. However, do try to act like you're being cooperative. For instance, you might answer questions about your line of work without divulging your company's bank account numbers.
Okay.
Guys, I don't know about you, but like, if they start waterboarding me.
Yeah, I'm giving you all
You can
the
have
digits.
All my company's bank account numbers. Sorry, but Costco.
This is the other thing I don't. This is the other thing I don't get when I watch movies and someone's being interrogated. Why don't they just lie? Where's Vinny? I'll tell you where he is.
Yeah, he's at McDonald's.
He's somewhere really far where it's going to take you a long time to figure out he's not there. I mean, I guess.
He's in Torrance.
Right.
Is Torrance really far? You were going to go.
It's not
you
for
were gonna,
me.
You were going to go way. You were going to go to like Utah.
I was going to stretch maybe to another state. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Vinny's in Utah. He's a Mormon.
Right.
And he's praying in Utah.
Yeah, not drinking cola.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the best I had on that one.
No, that's okay. I was just saying I never understand why they don't just lie. But I guess because when they find out they're lying, they'll kill them.
Then it's going to be really bad for them.
But if they don't answer, they're going to kill them too.
If it's not like, where are your children? We want to get to your kids. If they're like, what's your company's bank account numbers?
Yeah.
Here.
Right.
I don't care. Take it.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I'm going to be the person who gives them all the information.
Yeah. Let's not even get to waterboarding. You know what? I don't like a sprinkle. I don't like when it starts sprinkling outside. Like, let's not even deal with it.
I don't want to get wet.
You know what? We all know I'm not going to enjoy the waterboarding.
You're not.
It's going to lead me to confess anyway. So let's just skip that step and I'll tell you where my company's bank accounts are held.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Yeah.
I feel like you could get to that point immediately.
Yes.
That's like what I'm saying.
Once the gun comes out and they're ready to take you. What do you want to know?
Yeah. I got a gun in my head. I literally have a gun in my head.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
I'll give you all the details.
Yeah.
If forced to present terrorist demands to authorities, either in writing or on tape, state clearly that the demands are from your captors. Avoid making a plea on your own behalf.
What?
So they're saying when you're, you know, making the they're going to make you make a tape, right? Or go on TikTok or, you know, they're going to, you know how they do it now is TikTok.
Sure.
Do this dance.
You're going to say, my captor, do this dance. Do the viral TikTok dance. And while you're doing it, you're going to demand $2 million.
Right. Hold today's newspaper.
Do this
Tell
dance.
Your employees at Costco that we want.
You really think there's something nefarious going on at Costco?
Well, in this hostage situation, I'm imagining I work for Costco.
Okay.
And they want everything.
They want all the free samples.
They want everything from Costco. Okay. P.S. I've never been inside of a Costco. We didn't have those in Ohio, and then I just never went here.
They're giganto.
Yeah. I've been in Sam's Club. That's what Ohio has. So I get it.
You're in the know.
I'm not blind to what they offer. Okay. Wait a second. I lost my train of thought. So, okay. You're doing the TikTok thing.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to say, while you're doing the dance, the TikTok dance. TikTok. You're doing the TikTok dance. You're doing the TikTok dance. You're supposed to say, all right, my captors are telling me I'm supposed to ask for $2 million. You're not supposed to say, I'm asking.
Right.
That's what they're advising. I don't know why this really matters, but you're be like, just so you know, this is totally not me.
I mean, obviously, but I guess they don't want a what's-her-face situation on their hands where you empathize with your captor.
Like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, but what's-her-face?
Patricia Hearst.
Thank you, Patty Hearst.
We're going to be getting into that.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
All right.
Find a way to communicate if there are other captives, Danielle. If you're taken hostage as part of a group, which sounds more fun.
Yes.
Or if you discover that your captives have also abducted others, try to set up some way to communicate.
Morse code.
However, avoid speaking openly amongst yourselves in front of your captors.
Right.
They may separate, restrain, or even kill some members of the group to subdue everyone.
Oof. I don't think that would calm me down.
Be quiet when the kidnappers are out of the room, right?
Okay.
Whispery words. Yes. Or you might tap out a message if you know Morse code.
I mean, what are the chances that two people in one room are going to know Morse code?
Okay.
And what is the plan going to be?
Aside from like every like precocious child in an 80s movie.
Yes.
Does anyone know Morse code?
No. Right? Maybe if you're in the military, but they probably don't even use it anymore.
It's like, I saw these bracelets at this very overpriced, adorable shop the other day that were all like messages in Morse code.
Ew.
And it was like friendship, love, sisters.
Let's get out the back.
Yes.
You drug the captor.
Buy all those.
Yeah.
And then hand them out.
Right.
To your other. Look, guys, I got a gift for everyone.
So it just said what it was on the tag? It translated
it? It was like beads on the bracelet. And then they were, yes, it said on the tag which each one was. But I'm like, I don't know. This could be like those, you know, when people get those Japanese
tattoos.
Yeah,
and it tattoos, says, like,
and I'm like,
right.
It could say just diarrhea.
Right. It probably does.
And the Japanese are like, we fucking fooled you.
Yep.
This is payback, motherfuckers.
That's right. It's
payback. Yeah. Pearl Harbor, bitches.
No, they attacked us on Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
But well, we paid them back with two nuclear weapons.
And then put them in a lot of camps.
Well, those were the Americans, yes. Right. So you're saying it's Japanese Americans who are...
are, like, doing these tattoos as a,
right.
a long...
And they just all say
like a
diarrhea.
Long,
it's a long con.
It's a long con.
Right.
All those tattoos say diarrhea.
They got us.
They got us.
They did. Oh, geez. I enjoyed that.
A day that will live in infamy on the toilet.
I'm sorry. Okay. It may be helpful to set up a code word in case the opportunity to escape arises.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody has the code word.
I'm going to try Nutella.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Or are you just saying you're going to try Nutella for
no,
like the
I'm
first time?
No, I'm not going to try it. I'm going to try the word Nutella.
Okay. Have you had Nutella?
It used to be like a basic condiment when Oliver was in school for bake sales.
Okay.
Like everyone was into Nutella. But I don't think I've ever... I'm sure I've had... it in a candy bar. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure it's existed in something.
You haven't had
I've
it
eaten.
On toast.
No.
God, you'd love it.
Oh, I'm sure I would.
You would love it with a buttered toast and Nutella on top. You would love it.
Oh,
your...
butter and Nutella?
Yeah. That's the way you do it.
Look, that sounds really good.
I know.
That's really good.
Let yourself enjoy this experience at some point in your life.
Yeah, okay.
Good piece of bread, a little bit of butter, Nutella.
Nutella.
Don't do some weird diet butter either.
No, I don't do diet butter.
Okay, good. I would knock you off your socks.
No, I don't do diet butter.
That doesn't make sense. Okay.
You would knock me off my socks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself to be held for a long time.
Oh, shit. You know what I'm thinking.
You're going to miss the season of Americans.
No, not that.
What?
Pee. I'm going to have to pee every 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to think I'm lying.
They're going to kill you.
Like,
they're going to kill you.
They're going to kill me right away.
They're just going to be annoyed by
they're
it.
They're going to waterboard me with my own urine.
You know what? Maybe they'll buy you some diapers, honey.
Oh, okay. Okay, honey.
I don't know why I called you honey. Maybe they'll buy you some diapers, honey.
You know, because they're going to think I'm lying. And I'm going to be like, you don't understand. After a certain age, I had a vaginal birth. You know,
yes.
Yeah.
I get it. Depending on the situation, you may be held for only a few hours. But you might be there for days, months, even years, Danielle.
Holy shit.
So as you begin to adjust to your situation, try to develop a daily schedule, tracking time by outside cues like birds chirping, temperature changes in the room. Oh, you're going to be cold, Danielle.
I'm going to be cold all the time.
Or even your guards' activities.
And you're not allowed to complain.
No. I know it doesn't seem very appetizing, but eat whatever food they give you so you'll stay healthy and strong.
Right. And so the tracking of time is to keep you sane, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just okay. To, like this regular schedule. So try to use flexing exercises like planks and squats to keep your muscles strong.
Okay.
They can be adapted to work even if you have a very small range of movement. So even if you're just kept in a box, you know?
Your hands and legs are tied, but do a plank.
Yeah.
I mean, you could. Could do an elbow plank.
Yeah. Do whatever.
Why not?
You know, finger planks.
Finger planks.
Toe planks. Lift and lower your eyelids. Do some nose exercises.
Okay.
Ears.
Oh, can you wiggle your ears?
I cannot. Can you?
No.
I'm fascinated by people that can wiggle their ears. Can you, Garen?
I don't think so.
Well, probably not with those headphones.
Oliver used to be able to do it. He used to be able to make them go up and down. I'm not saying he can't anymore.
That.
He hasn't tried it in a long time.
No, your face is just moving.
You're not doing anything. I love the answer, I don't know. Like, you got to this age and you don't know whether or not you can wiggle your ears.
It's not something I've ever...
But you would know if you could do it.
I feel like I can, but I was just trying it and I can't, clearly.
Oh,
so.
You know what makes me so jealous are people that can raise one eyebrow.
Oh,
you're doing it. You're the Rock.
I could do it since I was 5 years old. Also, this eyebrow that I raised is actually higher than my other eyebrow, and I'm worried that I created that.
You didn't.
No, I think I'm just genetically lopsided.
You have a very symmetrical face.
No, I don't.
To me,
all.
You do.
No, my eyebrow is like a quarter of an inch higher than the other eyebrow. My eyes are different, but everything's different.
Only because you're pointing it out, I can see it, but right. I would never notice that.
Right.
Can you do it?
No.
Me either.
Really?
No. Oh, I'm sad. I cannot do it. Meditation or prayer can be a good way to keep yourself mentally strong while you're being held. Mm. Fortunately, the longer your captors hold you, the more chances of survival increase.
Wait a second. What?
So the longer they hold you, the less likely they are to kill you.
Okay, apparently. But that doesn't help you because you don't know
how long it's going to be.
Right.
You don't know the end date. You don't know when you get
you're
there.
You're like, oh, it's been a month. I've heard 30 chirpings.
Yes.
30 rounds of chirping. So they're probably not going to kill me at this point.
I mean,
okay. That makes sense.
This is a weird one to me. Try to stay low to the ground or behind cover from windows or doors if possible.
Oh.
I was like, do they have rival hostage
no,
gangs?
No, because if the feds come.
Yeah. It's because they don't know who they're shooting at. Like, they don't know.
Yeah.
They're just like, bang, bang, bang.
Right.
I got to hit people. I don't know if I'm going to hit. You might get killed by friendly fire.
Right.
Do not attempt to escape unless there is an extremely good chance of survival.
Oh, okay.
It is safer to be submissive and obey your captors.
See, that would be hard to accept.
If you see an opportunity to escape and you're absolutely sure it can work, take it. However, if that's not the case, bide your time. I mean, that's one of those things that's really hard to gauge because you really don't. I mean, it's really going to be hard for you to know unless it's like, oh, they're all gone. They went to a movie. They're going to see Taken because they love Liam Neeson.
Right.
They're going to be gone for 2 hours. They left this door open. I mean,
right.
I can just walk out. Why?
Well, you hear those stories of people who are kidnapped for years.
Yeah.
Like a woman is, you know, kidnapped by some lunatic.
Yes.
And they have opportunities and they don't leave. But I think that's because they're so mentally worn down.
Yes.
But yeah, you're always like, why don't you just... But I think the fear has been just driven into
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tracking an abduction victim or negotiating with hostage takers can take a lot of work. So it's important to be patient and allow the authorities to find you. Similarly, if you gain access to a phone, only try to dial emergency services if you're sure you can do it unnoticed.
Uh-huh.
So no DoorDash.
So the only that you heard wasn't only if you're safe.
Yeah.
The only you heard was only call emergency services.
Yep.
As opposed to I'm peckish.
Yeah. They're just
and
feeding
I'm sick
me
of
vegan
gruel.
Food.
Yeah. I want Krispy Kreme to deliver to me.
I haven't had a donut in forevers. An exception to waiting for rescue is if you believe your captors are planning to kill you. For instance, if they suddenly stop feeding you.
Oh. Or they feed you too much.
Oh,
and there's a big vat of boiling water that they're slicing carrots into.
Mm-hmm. And they're a wolf dressed like your grandmother.
Right.
I might be mixing stories right now.
I was just thinking of Bugs Bunny.
I love it.
La-da-dee, la-da-da. You know, he's got like the thing. He's like scrubbing himself in the pot of water. And they're like slicing carrots and celery
into
it.
You know what's coming.
Yeah.
If they seem very nervous or scared, your life may be in danger.
Oh, okay.
It feels like they would just be nervous or scared. Like, unless they're professional. Maybe they're professionals
at
this.
Well, look, I'm thinking it's a gang of different personalities. So there's the guy in charge. There's the shaky misfit guy who is nervous and scared. So, you know, you just got to... But you'll get to know them as time goes on.
All right.
Maybe you can turn one of them.
Yeah. You're going to have to take one as a lover.
Okay. I didn't mean that, but sure.
I mean, how else? You got to use your feminine wiles. Get ready.
After a month of not shaving and bathing, I'm sure that'll be...
Men are not that picky, honey.
Again with the honey. I don't think I enjoy this character.
Aunt Chris is back.
Aunt Chris, is that what you said?
Aunt Chris. Yeah, it's not working for me.
No.
I'm going to drop it. All right. If they seem nervous or scared, your life may be in danger and you should find any way out you can. If you do escape, get somewhere safe right away, like a police station or a crowded building.
Okay.
OK, Okay. Follow the authorities' directions if you're rescued. If you're found by the authorities, there will likely be several chaotic moments where they have to determine who's a kidnapper and who's a victim. For your safety, get low to the ground with your hands behind your head or crossed in front of your chest. Don't run. Don't make any sudden movements.
Akimbo?
Yes.
Okay.
Akimbo.
Okay.
As the authorities secure the scene, they may handcuff and search you. Allow them to do this.
Yeah.
Let them know that you've been abducted. That's a good tip for the abductors.
Pretend, right?
If you're an abductor
classic.
See a doctor for medical attention as soon as possible, obviously. It's also important to talk to a mental health professional.
Yes.
Find a therapist who specializes in trauma. Don't they all?
Yeah.
I mean, but maybe
there might
specific.
Be more specific, you know, I've been kidnapped, doctor. Okay.
Are you guys ready for a story?
Absolutely.
So, have you ever heard about the kidnapping of Patty Hearst?
I think so.
You know, it's a little known story. On February...
Endlessly fascinating, though. Endlessly.
I am pretty fascinated by the story. In fact, I watched a documentary last night about it as well.
Okay.
You can find it on Amazon Prime.
I may have seen it. I'm not sure.
And it's called Gorilla... Something. We'll find it and I'll give you the actual name before we wrap up. Patty Hearst kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army.
Mm-hmm.
On February 4th, 1974, Patty Hearst, the 19-year-old granddaughter of newspaper publisher William Randolph Hearst, is kidnapped from her apartment in Berkeley, California, by three armed strangers. Her fiancé, Stephen Weed, was beaten and tied up along with a neighbor who tried to help.
Mm.
So one thing interesting I learned when I watched the documentary last night is the way they found out where she lived and how she was chosen was that one of the women in the Symbionese Liberation Army was going to Berkeley and worked in the registrar's office.
Oh, shit.
And they had a list.
So she just looked her up.
Well, they didn't even look her up. They had a list of potential kidnapping victims of like who would be good to kidnap because
they knew who she was
were, and she was on that list as like a good subject because of who she was, Patty Hearst, and being like, you know, this really wealthy person's granddaughter and daughter, because her dad was also very, you know, they're like one of the wealthiest families in America, and so that's how they got her information and why they targeted her. So, you know, a lot of these young people were connected to Berkeley at the
time.
Okay. Witnesses report seeing a struggling Hearst being carried away blindfolded, and she was put in the trunk of a car. God, if she would have listened to our podcast, she would have known. Neighbors who came out in the street were forced to take cover after the kidnappers fired their guns to cover their escape.
Oh, so they weren't surreptitious really at all.
No, it wasn't that slick of an operation.
No.
You know, and another thing, like listening to this or watching the documentary last night, you know, they weren't so slick.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, they're just a bunch of young.
They're young. Very idealistic. You know, before they started getting really violent, they were people who grew up who were like, oh, you know, we saved, you know, the world from Hitler. And now our country is Hitler because of the Vietnam War. They're thinking we're the bad guys now. And they're so angry about Vietnam and, you know, the two bombs that were dropped and all this killing, and they're against it and they're protesting. But now they're like, we have to do bigger things because we're seeing all this poverty and racism, and we want to fight to change things, but we have to do big things. And that became terrorism,
right?
Essentially.
Right.
Which nobody wants. 3 days later, the Symbionese Liberation Army, a small U.S. leftist group, announced in a letter to a Berkeley radio station that it was holding Hearst as a prisoner of war. 4 days later, the SLA demanded that the Hearst family give $70 in food stuff to every needy person from Santa Rosa to Los Angeles.
Right.
This done, said the SLA, negotiation would begin for the return of Patricia Hearst. Randolph Hearst hesitantly gave away some $2 million worth of food. So
hesitantly?
Well... at first, their demands were just like basically feed every hungry person.
Right.
And he was like, I can't do that. Like, I can't meet the demand you're asking
for. So this was the grandfather? He was still alive?
This was the father.
I was going to say, William Randolph Hearst wouldn't still be alive in 74, right?
So, no, I don't think he was. This was the father. Right. And there's a lot of footage you can watch in this documentary. Yeah. And they actually showed the food donation giveaway, they'd put this guy in charge of it who wasn't connected to the family or the SLA. And it became kind of almost a riot situation because it wasn't executed well. I think because it happened so fast. So how could they plan it well?
They're in trucks giving out food, and people are fighting over a
turkey, basically. And then that looked bad.
Yeah.
And also,
whoops.
And then Patty's sort of in these recordings saying to her family, you know, you gave away bad quality food and you're not doing this right, which is also who knows, it's like the SLA is making her speak.
Well, how long had she been kidnapped at
this
point?
It's not that long. It's like 8 or 9 days.
So I don't know if she's already starting to turn or
well,
if this
turning
is just what
is
they...
also this thing where it's like, does she really turn
right
or not? It's interesting.
Right.
So the SLA says this is inadequate. We want $6 million more. The Hearst Corporation says we'll donate the additional sum if Patty's released unharmed. In April, though, the situation changes dramatically when a surveillance camera took a photo of Hearst participating in an armed robbery of a San Francisco bank.
Right.
And she was also spotted during a robbery of a Los Angeles store. She later declared in a tape sent to the authorities that she had joined the SLA of her own free will.
Okay.
On May 17th, Los Angeles police raided the SLA's secret headquarters, killing 6 of the group's 9 known members. Among the dead was the SLA's leader, Donald DeFries, an African-American ex-convict who called himself General Field Marshal Cinque, but he went by Sin. Patty Hearst and 2 other SLA members wanted for the April bank robbery were not on the premises. And this was a really pretty intense shootout. They show a lot of the footage in the documentary. Yeah. I think it happened in Compton, and a lot of people just who were bystanders or maybe letting them stay in their houses. It was like a lot of people got hurt. It was very.
So they moved from Northern California to Southern California.
They were hiding out in L.A.
OK.
Finally, on September 18th, 1975, after Chris Carson.
Wait, 1975?
Yes.
So she's been with them for a year.
I think
almost 2 years.
It ends up being like 18 months, I believe.
Yeah. OK. Jesus.
After Chris crossing the country with her captors or conspirators for more than a year, Hearst, or Tanya, as she called herself, was captured in a San Francisco apartment and arrested for armed robbery. Despite her claim that she had been brainwashed by the SLA, she was convicted on March 20th, 1976, and sentenced to 7 years in prison. She served 21 months before her sentence was commuted by President Carter.
Oh.
After leaving prison, she returned to a more routine existence and later married her bodyguard.
Her bodyguard. Oh,
who,
okay.
After she was out, she got a bodyguard.
Right.
She was pardoned by President Clinton in January 2001.
Okay.
So I think what's really interesting to observe when you actually watch the documentary is that as each progressive statement comes out by Patty, she sounds more and more on the side of her captors and their belief system. However, she's also... you know, the part of what Stockholm Syndrome is that the longer you are in a kidnapping situation, the more you do associate with your captors as a sort of survival mechanism. And they don't know as much, I think, back then about how that works psychologically on a person. So her family's like, we don't understand. And her boyfriend, you know, she like breaks up with her boyfriend. It's all happening in the media, too, which is also really
so
fascinating
weird.
Because they're like all communicating back and forth through the media.
But they can never find her.
They're not trying to, though, because they know that could put her in danger. So they're sort of letting the SLA dictate the terms of this whole thing. So they're not really searching, or at least they're not announcing it in the media because they don't want the SLA to hurt her.
Oh, OK.
You know,
so having watched and read about it, what impression were you left with? Was it just a matter of survival? Did she really believe?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think she did what she had to do.
Right.
She
was probably by herself sometime in those 18 months. No,
I think she had multiple opportunities to leave easily.
So
that she didn't take her. She did write a book about it, and she says now she was raped and held in a closet.
Right.
And very much was a victim. And she talks about how even in that footage of the bank robbery, there was another person with a gun on her the entire time.
Right. I remember that claim. Okay.
So, you know, my tendency to believe her is stronger than that she just was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be with them now. But also, when you're 19, you're also very young and unformed, and I could easily see her being like, yeah, my family is wealthy and terrible, and America is awful, and we should help
a lot of 19-year-olds think that way. So, yeah,
like, these guys are right, and we should do these things, and getting swept up in something kind of beyond her ability to, you know, she was pretty naive and also
sheltered
in this insane wealth and privilege, and then her wealth and privilege just worked out for her because no one else, I mean, if this would have been
because she only did
if this would have been a person of color,
there's
no way they would have gotten out in, you know, 2 years and then a presidential pardon. I encourage everyone to watch the documentary, read more about this story.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So fascinating.
All right. Well, we will be right back with our guest.
I can't wait.
Right after this.
Welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. Danielle.
Christine.
Did you have a good break?
Sure.
Got some chocolate?
I got some chocolate. I went to the restroom. You know, the huge.
Everything is working out for you.
Do you know that, like, once a day, I'll be like, huh, how did I get chocolate on that? Because I'm just like constantly.
I love that your life involves that much chocolate.
It involves that much dark chocolate. And then I'll just be like, oh, fuck, there's another piece of laundry I gotta spray.
But you're gonna live forever.
Does chocolate make you live forever?
It's good for dark chocolate?
Yeah.
It's very good for you. I think it's high in anti-inflammatory.
Sure. It also gives you a headache if you have too much.
So you've learned that from experience.
Yes. You can't have too much dark chocolate.
Okay, well.
I mean, you can have too much dark chocolate, so don't have too much, because it'll give you a headache.
And this has been a tip.
How was your...
How to Survive.
How was your break?
I try to call a pediatrician. My life is full of sexy moments.
That's very exciting.
Didn't work out.
Yeah.
Because our guest came in, and I didn't want to be rude. So... In the first half of the show, we talked about how to survive a hostage situation, and now we have... Oscar Montoya here. He's going to talk to us
about being held hostage on a commercial shoot. It sounds like
you guys know Oscar from
the Minx,
amazing show Minx.
We've actually talked about the show, not even knowing we would ever meet you.
Oh, really?
On the show. Yes, about how much we love it.
We love it so much.
Yeah,
get out of here.
No, we love it. It's so good.
It's
Oscar plays
delightful
Richie the photographer.
Yes.
And you just told us you're coming back.
Yes, I am.
And you're shooting. You guys are shooting soon.
It's very soon. Oh my gosh!
Second
Within
season.
Weeks. Yes, we're doing it. I'm so glad that you introduced the show correctly.
Manx. Do people say Manx?
People say the Minx.
Oh no, that's like a grandmother's way of introducing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Have you watched the Minx?
The Minx.
So
absolutely.
Many penises.
And it's. I would say 90% of any interview that I'm in or any podcast that I'm guesting on, it's like, oh, the Minx. I'm like, you've never seen the show.
I was gonna say they don't watch
they
it.
They don't
then.
Watch
yeah.
it. I had one interviewer. Say, oh, and please welcome the star of The Jinx, Oscar Montoya.
Yes.
I'm like, no, he's
a I'm the murderer.
Yeah. He's a murderer.
I kill them all, of course.
Of course. Everyone.
I was like, oh, no.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God. Makes you just say you're the star of Spanx.
That's, yes.
I'm the star
and
of
that
Spanx.
Would,
have
honestly,
you seen Spanx?
Spanx? Call me. Well, thank you. What a nice thing to say.
We might be your publicity team.
and your target audience.
I swim at a place where you guys shot.
No way.
At the country club where you have this.
Are you serious?
No. I saw that and I was like, that's where I swim with my kids.
We shot and there were people there. I mean, they didn't close a country club.
Oh, that's
club.
Hilarious.
But so did they put them in period clothing or they just didn't shoot around
we
them?
Had to
they
shoot
were already dressed
them.
That way. That place is frozen
they're
in
old.
Time.
Yeah, you said they're very conservative over there.
Wait, that's. No way.
Yeah. So every
it's a beautiful place.
I go, you know, so we're there every weekend because it's so hot.
Yes.
And I every time I see another mom, I'm like, are you watching Minx? It's a lot of penises,
and they,
but it's great.
And they say, you mean the Minx?
And they're like, the Minx? I love the Minx.
Yeah, she told me, yeah, they shot at my country club. And I'm like, you have a country club?
First of all, she was
about?
Like, how are you?
What?
What? You're not a country club person. But I was like, wait, it's not like that kind of country club. It's very... Weird
very
and cool.
Though.
It's
like, yeah.
very
retro.
Weird and very cool.
Yeah.
I love that. That was when, because that was in the second episode. That was the very first thing we shot when we came back after the pilot passed and all
oh,
that.
Oh, wow.
So it was really cool to be shooting there. It was so hot, though.
Oh, it's a million
and
degrees.
And I was wearing that
polyester
outfit.
Oh yeah, that's right. That sailor
which
outfit.
Is amazing. But yes. So I have tattoos all over my arms. So
oh, do they have to cover them or?
Yes, I have 2 hours of makeup coverage.
2 hours?
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, and it was so hot that it was melting. The makeup was melting off my arms, and I was like, oh no. So it was quite an ordeal, but it was fun and it turned out great. And
it was so good.
Yeah, you can
it
see my tattoos. So, that
so good.
So this is, I'm assuming, a good working experience for you, this show.
Absolutely.
It's heaven.
Yes.
But you, as an actor, have had not so great experiences.
Wait, what? You've had, in
you
show
imagine?
Business?
I know.
You've had not great experiences?
Can you believe it?
I can't relate, but... Danielle, can you relate to that?
No, we're just doing this for kicks. We're a gajillionaire. She belongs to a country club.
Right. It's yeah. all worked out for me. Yeah. But and I've only had wonderful, pleasant experiences on sets.
Yeah.
Been told I'm very talented, funny, beautiful. Oh, yeah, yeah. All my jokes have been amazing.
I write for game shows one. Mm-hmm. I write for game shows sometimes. And I remember once, I'm almost never on the set because they don't need us, which is great because what's more boring than being on the set
of a game show.
And I just remember someone going, who wrote this?
Oh gosh.
And I was, you know, at that point, you're not even offended. You're just like, oh my God, this is hysterical.
Oh, no.
Or just like, I remember red lines across one of my scripts and lame in big red letters across it. That happened.
That's hilarious.
So, you know.
Easy.
Yeah,
it's an easy career business that we've chosen.
It's great for like the most deeply sensitive people.
Yes, right.
And then to tell you have to have a really thick skin. And you're yes. like, that's the literal opposite of what all of us have.
Do you crave approval from strangers? Then you should go into this business.
Yes.
That will completely shit on you every
chance it gets.
Every chance it gets. Absolutely.
Continuously. Even when you're doing well,
yeah.
you're still
yeah.
constantly being told
oh, yeah.
things are wrong with you.
It's a roller coaster ride, truly.
So what is this story?
Yes.
What,
oh my gosh. Okay.
Paint the scene.
Are y'all ready for literally the most insane story?
Yes.
Yes. That's what
time?
We live for. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. So I have had a recurring dream. It starts really weird. Okay. I've had a recurring dream since I was 5 years old where I am on a cliff and I fall off this cliff.
Okay.
And it's a very it's a very vivid dream. I would call it a nightmare, I guess, at this point, where I fall down this cliff and I am hitting every rock as I go down. I can hear my bones snap.
Oh, my God.
And as I'm falling down, my only thought is I never made it to my 29th birthday.
Okay.
Since I was 5 years old.
And is there any... Did your father die when he was 29?
No,
is there
no,
29,
like
any reason for 29?
Nothing, no.
Okay,
it's
no.
developed a really, I mean, a intense fear of heights for me.
Oh yeah,
like, I can't do roller coasters. I can't do any of that stuff.
Okay,
just being on like the penthouse floor of a building, like I can't do it. I'm
okay,
like, no. So anyway, fast forward, you know. So like, I spent my entire life being like, well, I guess I'm one of those people that is just gonna die early.
You think you're Kurt Cobain.
Except lamer.
Isn't 29 the age like, when all those rock stars died?
26
oh,
or
27? Okay.
27 club, I think.
Yeah.
It's called.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, as I was getting closer to that age, I was like, maybe it's a metaphor for something. I don't know. Maybe my life will change. Blah, blah,
wow.
blah. So, anyway. Oh, and there was this like one weird moment that happened. Where, and I'm not like a superstitious person at all. I've never been one. But there was this lady that stopped me in the middle of the street in Queens, New York, which is where I'm from. And she stopped me and she's like, I'm sorry, I just have to give you a reading right now because I just feel your aura. And as a cynical New Yorker, I'm like, get at it. I'm walking
like,
here.
Like, right. Like, I didn't like, ask for this.
Yeah, I was like, what is this scam? And the first thing she told me was, she's like, you think you're going to die? Before 29, that's not going to happen. And
what?
I was like,
come on.
I kid you not. I was like, oh my God, this is. And then she like, I was like, okay, I'm sold. What do you got to tell me?
Yes.
And then she gave me some weird thing. She was like, I'm going to work with hair. Like, I'm going to be a hairdresser or something. I was like, okay, I feel like that's profiling me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm
going to
say.
I look gay, but like.
Either
okay.
that or you're going to decorate home.
Yes.
I just have a feeling.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling.
You're going to be a straight girl's best friend. so I was like, okay, whatever. Anyway. So I start acting at around, what, 26, 27 or whatever. And one of the first things I book is this Verizon non-union commercial.
Okay.
It's non-union. So that says a lot, right?
Yeah.
So I, part of the audition was to, they were specifically looking for, because the very first commercial I ever booked was a Fleischmann's baking yeast commercial. And they were looking for real bakers. I have never baked anything in my entire
okay,
life.
Right.
I've never touched a kitchen. I don't know what that even looks like. But I did Google how to make bread before the audition.
Yeah.
And I just like repeated what I read about. And I ended up booking it. So that was the very first job that I booked.
That's hysterical.
That's how you hustle people.
That's how you hustle.
So
you
did your Chiron say, Oscar, real baker? Yeah. He knows the three
actual bakers. Do not attempt at home.
And then, so I think my reps were like, oh my gosh, okay, like let's send him out for all these like real people that can do stuff. So they were looking for someone who had extensive bungee jumping experience.
And you are terrified of heights.
And I'm terrified of heights. Uh-huh. But I was like, listen, I can't say no. At this point, I can't say no to an audition. I have to say yes. And the other thing too that I've been told is if you want to survive at this industry in the commercial world, you have to say yes to everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If they ask you to ride a horse, you know you've been a pro at riding horses.
Right.
If you know how to if you don't know how to fly a plane, you lie and say that you are a pilot. You have a plane. That's how you got here.
Right. Just taxied in for this audition.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I go in and they're like, oh yeah, so like, what's your experience? And I was like, oh, I've been doing it since I was 17. Just straight up lying through my teeth. Nervous, but also pretty confident that I wasn't going to get this job.
Right.
Because I'm like, what are the chances? I get a call back. I'm like, okay. I go in there. They ask me a bunch of questions. I absolutely lie. I like Google, of course.
Yes.
That's how I book things, I guess. And then I end up booking the job.
Okay.
I'm terrified.
Yeah. Because you have to bungee jump in the commercial?
Well, I don't really know what the spot is.
Oh,
they were just like asking me like, so like, how long have you been doing it? Like, what are the ropes that you use? Et cetera, et cetera.
Jesus Christ.
You're like the strongest ones.
Yeah. Ones that don't break. So, you know, it's the day of the shoot and I'm at this place in New Jersey. I'm at a park in New Jersey, all the way up this hill in New Jersey, and I'm there, and suddenly it dawns on me, my birthday's on April 12th. We shot this commercial on April 5th, I believe, when I was 28 years old.
Oh shit.
Oh gosh.
I didn't even think about it until I got on set. I remember getting my makeup done. Oh, and the spot is, I'm at the edge of the bridge where I jump off.
Yeah.
And I say, I trust my phone service with my life, and then I jump. And in the spot, like, the rope isn't attached or something, and it's like, haha, like, get a better service, essentially.
Haha, the character's dead?
Yes.
Okay. You know,
death is funny, right?
Seems really, seems really edgy for a phone commercial. Yeah.
Well, non-union, right? So,
okay.
So I'm like, wait a second. This cannot possibly be it. There is no way that my recurring dream has been a warning.
Prophecy.
Of like a prophecy. Like, what's going on? Now I have a choice to make. I'm either do I just freak out and run out of here? Do I say like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Mm. I had a dream where I died here.
The prophecy has spoken.
Right?
Also, P.S. I've never bungee jumped.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I've been lying to you. Or do I just like do the shoot and just pray that it was just a weird coincidence?
Get this credit and this little tiny bit of money.
Yeah, exactly. Very tiny bit of money.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, that's all going through my head, and I'm after my makeup, there's like a guy who's like telling me how to use the rope and like the right way to do it.
Oh,
I am
Jesus.
Not paying attention. The entire time I'm just thinking, it doesn't matter, I'm gonna die today. Like,
oh,
I just
God.
Can't get it out of my head. I'm like, this is the day I'm gonna die. I have fully resigned myself to die at a commercial shoot.
But if you were so sure, why didn't you leave?
Because I didn't want to inconvenience people. Also because I was like, what? There is no way. Like, how? There's no way. There's no way.
So,
there's
right. No
you're like, it can't like be you, real.
Shoot. Yeah. Right? Like,
you 100%
no
believed it, and 100% was like, this is that way. I get it. I get
absolutely
it.
Yeah. So just to be on the safe side, I asked a PA to take a picture of me, and I have that picture, and I will show you the picture.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Of me being like, this is the last moment of my life. This is my last. This is the picture people will see on the news report, right?
Oh,
like,
my God.
This is the picture I want blown up at my funeral.
At least you were wearing makeup.
At least I was wearing makeup. It didn't look like I was. And I was definitely smiling. I remember smiling in the picture. I did not look like I was smiling in the picture at all. And I was fully like, okay, this is it. I fully resigned. They're like setting it up. They're setting up the lighting. And we do a little run through. They're like, you're not jumping here, you're just saying the line and then you go. And I'm struggling with the lines so hard. Like, I can't get the lines right. And they're like mad at me.
Uh-huh.
Cause I look down and I straight up panic. I like panic.
Yeah.
Cause it is so high up. And oh. I was like, I'm sorry, I just need like 15 minutes. And they're like, okay, you have 15 minutes. So I'm like, trying to psych myself up yes. for my death.
Also because you have to bungee jump. That is like your worst and I have, fear.
And I have never done it before.
But I have never done it before. Can I just say how funny it is that an actor's... As an actor, of course your death would involve not only plummeting to your death, but fucking up a line.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Listen, I had to have it in one take because I couldn't do it again.
Yes, that's right. You're not going to do it a second time.
So as I'm getting ready, I'm like psyching myself up and being like, it's fine. There is no way this is going to happen. Park rangers show up. They drive up. And they're like, they come out of the car and they're asking people, they're like, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, we're shooting a commercial. And they're like, okay. They're like looking around. They're seeing all the bungee cords. And they're like, do you have a permit for this? And they're like, yes, we have a park permit. We can shoot here. And they're like, no. Do you have a permit to bungee jump here? And they're like, no. No, we don't. And they were like, you need a permit to bungee. You can't just bungee jump. They're like, oh, we just assumed that we could do whatever we want because we have the space. And the rangers were like, no, hold on. So they leave. They come back. They're like, how long is that rope? Then they measure it. They leave. They come back and they're like, we're shutting it down.
Holy Y'all, shit.
The length of no. the rope was longer than the height of the cliff.
Oh, get the fuck out of town. Are you kidding me?
No.
But didn't they have, I know it's non-union, but didn't they have a bungee jump expert there?
Sure, to teach me how to jump, but not to measure the length of the bungee.
Oh my God.
Needless to say, that shoot was completely canceled and I survived. And I swear to you, I have never had that dream since.
Oh my
And you
God.
Got paid, I hope.
For the day.
They had to pay for the day.
Sure, yeah.
They didn't... I assumed...
That's
that, first
insane.
Of all, that's just mm-hmm. so bananas.
Oh my God.
That woman on the street was right.
She was right. She was wrong about a bunch of other stuff. Well, maybe not. I might become a hairdresser in the future.
Yes.
Who knows?
Or you might play one.
Or I might play
oh,
one.
Oh!
Right.
In your Oscar-winning
yes.
role.
Wait a second. Hold
Wait
on
a second.
1 second. Because I did... On Minx, I did do Joyce's hair in that one
yep,
scene.
That's true.
And I also did Shelley's hair in that other scene. So maybe she was right.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, she wasn't wrong.
She wasn't wrong. She wasn't wrong. I am gay.
That's why she had to stop you. Because she was like,
sorry, you're
she's
gay.
Like, I'm gonna get at least a couple things right about this guy.
I got to do some practice. I'm warming up.
Yeah, exactly.
Warming up for my day. You. So confidence builder.
Right.
I'm just trying to get past the fact that they wouldn't go to a place where they do
yes.
bungee jumping. I assumed it was a place that would have
It was just nearby to where we were, and I feel like it's more expensive to shoot at a bungee jumping place than just a random place.
Yeah, but this is for a major corporation.
Yeah, but also...
But non-union, right?
But it's non-union.
It just could have been, like, film school guys who were like, we're going to do a spec commercial.
True.
Right? Can't they just... Anybody can do a spot.
Right. And also, I have, in my experience... You know this, right? Like, some of the most disorganized shoots have been with, like, big money. I've done tons of commercials. And the bigger the brand, the more chaotic
it is. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. People do not know what's going on.
How? Why? Because there's too many people involved?
I think it's because it's too many people, and they all think that they're correct.
Okay.
So they're, like, unwilling to talk to each other. There's a lot of miscommunication happening. Yeah. Like, it's the Wild West. It's the Wild West.
Okay, this... okay, so getting back to that day, that moment, they tell you it's canceled.
It's canceled.
Were you just relieved beyond belief?
I was so relieved. Were you? I was mad. I was,
of course.
Well, I was mad at myself for not trusting myself.
Oh, okay.
That I was like, oh my God. Well, it was like clearly like some, you know, these guardian angels showed up in the form of these rangers. Like, you know, because otherwise, like, I would have died, like 100%. There's no way I would have survived. Well, maybe I would have survived that, but no, I don't think so.
Did you approach your life differently, or what, you were just, you said you didn't have the dream anymore, but
yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it like opened me up to not caring about really like doing stuff. I've been a lot more like carefree about my life. Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Like most people would be like, life is precious. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be dead right now.
Right,
so I'm just
going
to like do whatever I want. Live
take
for
the
myself,
risk.
You know? Yeah. Take the risk. Exactly. And it's
holy,
like, you know,
ghost.
I've been very, knock on wood, very successful with my career in that. And I owe it all to me being just like, just doing it, you know,
almost dying bungee jumping, bungee jumping.
I can't even believe that the park rangers, I could see them shutting it down. I can't believe they had the frame of mind to go, oh, we need to measure the rope.
Absolutely. Because they went down, so I'm sure they like talked to somebody
who was
like, can we get these people a bungee cord license? And they're like, sure, just measure
the
rope or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, great. Let's go up and ask them.
Well, they probably learned that from other people who died
in the park or other places.
Because those rogue bungee jumpers, right, who just show up at bridges with
Is
their own ropes and no permits. And so park rangers have to be on the alert for that kind of stuff. And then, you know, people end up dying.
Absolutely.
Have you since bungee jumped?
Hell no.
Yeah. You're not that carefree. Yeah, no.
No, not that carefree. I'm still terrified of heights.
No, I don't like heights, and I'm not an adventurous in person. I would skydive before I would bungee jump.
You would?
Bungee jumping scares the fuck out of me.
Okay, so what's the delineation of jumping off a plane and then jumping off a cliff?
I think there's probably some joy to be had from jumping out of a plane. The actual experience, whereas bungee jumping just seems painful and
it seems like a prank.
It just seems like it's
like on your own body.
Yeah. Like it
you
seems
know?
Like it would hurt.
Like I'm doing this mean thing to you.
Yeah, your body's like, well, I'm free falling.
Nope.
Anyway. We cannot thank you enough for being here and telling us this story.
Thank you.
That was like,
me.
Because usually, like, we have stories that are like embarrassing or, but this had everything.
This story had
this
every
had
element. It
genuine
was
genuine fear.
Fear,
a possible paycheck.
Hilarious. Intrigue.
Supernatural.
Mystery.
Supernatural.
Yes,
supernatural
mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
Life change.
Mm-hmm.
I am just
like, this is everything we want in a story.
Yes.
You really brought it.
You brought it, Oscar.
Thank you. Well, you have a space for me to bring it too, so thank you for that.
Yes.
We just tried it.
My Lord. But were you ever afraid to lie about your special skills?
Yes,
after that?
I do not do that anymore.
You're like, I don't do accents. I'm not going to say
anything. And I don't. And I really do not. And people are like, wait, but you know, English is my second language. So they're like, don't you speak Spanish? And I'm like, yes, but I cannot do a Spanish accent.
You can't?
I cannot.
Wait a second.
Every accent I do sounds like Dracula. I'm not kidding. And then literally after that spot, I booked another commercial where I'm driving a motorcycle.
That's what? Hilarious.
And they were looking for actual real cyclists, and I show up, and I didn't even know this. I was like, I'm going to show up, and they're like, "Hey, so thank you for all these like actual authentic cyclists that show up. Please tell us the motorcycle that you have." And I was like, this is a joke. I was so over it. I was like, I've never ridden a motorcycle. I'm so sorry. I ended up booking the spot.
Jesus Christ.
And it's because
your ability to not do things works out for you.
Meanwhile, there is a breakdown for a huge commercial where in the breakdown they say we're looking for Oscar Montoya types.
Literally.
And I'm like, oh my, I'm getting my own type. I was just like, I've made it.
Of course.
This is what it feels like to be successful in didn't get a callback.
Are you kidding me?
Didn't get a call.
Wait,
back
you
to call, that
you
spot.
Probably walked in and were like, "I'm here."
Oh, I felt
it's
so
me on the type.
I was They're like, slate your name, and I was like, "I'm Oscar Montoya." They're like, "Oh, you're the Oscar Montoya," and I was like, "Yes." Didn't even get a call back. Stop calling people in now.
Tear it up.
That
I'm here.
How could you not?
Oh my God.
That is so funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to end on that because that was freaking brilliant.
I can't wait to see those spots.
We'll look them up. Oh my God, Oscar, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We will be watching Minx as soon as it comes out.
We can't wait to see it. Yeah.
Do you know when it'll come out?
Sometime next year.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, good luck to you. Are you still doing commercials?
Every once in a while. Yeah,
I saw you pop up in a commercial.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's Oscar from Minx.
That's right. Yeah. I'm currently in a Jack in the Box commercial.
All right. I'll look out for it.
Very cool.
Nice. Yes. Oh my God. All right. Well, we will be right back with what did we learn today?
Danielle.
Christine.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
100%.
Me too. The retina converts light that enters into your eye into electrical signals your optic nerve sends to your brain, which creates the images you see. It's a key part of your vision.
Oh, great.
The retina is the layer at the very back of your eyeball.
All right.
It generally takes about 2 weeks to heal after retinal tear surgery, but you can usually resume normal activities within a few days.
Okay. This is all good to know.
You know what? Listen to some podcasts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah.
So you could hear... Oh, I got one.
Yeah.
Ours.
Okay, it sounds good.
You may not know it, but every passenger car built after 2002 has a trunk release mechanism built into the trunk.
Right. I think we did learn this.
Hey, don't get kidnapped by people who have cars older than 2002.
That's a good point.
Right?
Or if you're doing the kidnapping, pick an old car or wrap that shit up.
Wrap that shit up.
That's right.
I think that's a good piece of advice for in general.
Yeah.
Wrap that shit up. This is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Do not lose your dignity. You know, maybe that should be our new show theme. Instead of remain calm, do not lose your dignity. Rolls right off the tongue.
Remain dignified.
Get to know your captors. Share recipes. Talk about their kids' accomplishments. Perhaps pickleball tips and tricks.
I love it.
Might as well learn Morse code.
Might as well.
Hey, you could do that while you're recuperating.
While I'm recuperating from my eye surgery? Okay.
There's probably a good podcast. Duolingo Morse code.
That's hilarious.
Dot, dot, dash, dash, dot, dot.
Oh, it's so cute,
that's the voice. That's the cute voice, yeah.
Then there's also this voice. Dot, dot, dash, dot, dash, dash.
The Dracula of
there
language.
There is a voice like that, yeah. And
I
then there's
that.
A bored girl who's like, dot, dot, dash, dot, dash.
That's kind of how Patty Hearst sounds.
Oh, really?
No affect? I was fascinated by how in the 70s women already sounded like Valley Girls. That had that kind of like California voice.
Oh, yeah. That's when it started, I think.
I loved it. Planks and prayers. The Doc Gorilla, The Taking of Patty Hearst, is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Great.
William Randolph Hearst died in 1951.
Right.
So, yeah, he was way
long dead.
Yeah. Way dead.
So dead.
Studies show that dark chocolate, when it is not loaded with sugar and saturated fat, is indeed a heart-healthy chocolate treat and more. Dark chocolate is rich in disease-fighting antioxidants.
Love
Studies it. Show it can help reduce blood pressure and lower your risk of heart disease.
I'm so healthy.
Hey, no one's saying you're not.
I mean, there's sugar in the ones I eat for sure, but I eat pretty dark, not like crazy.
Not like baking
not
sugar?
Not like 80%, yeah.
Baking chocolate?
Right.
Don't do that. You know what, guys? We love you.
So much.
We appreciate your listening. We love your reviews have been so lovely and wonderful. We love your comments on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for your support. You can find us at Pod How to Survive. You can send us an email at podhousecout. I can't say a
Oh, no, you word. Look so defeated. You were doing so good.
I know,
good.
That's why. I was like on a real roll with saying words. And then I got all chopped up.
Reach your limit.
Chopped up.
You got,
see?
You got potted up.
I got potted up. podcast.howtosurvive@gmail.com is where you can send us any stories you want to tell, because we love the stories. Yes. I think we're going to do a whole episode of just emails
will.
Because yeah. we are backed up.
That's true.
But until next time,
remain calm.